1 Corinthians, please. Chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 12. So this year I committed to preaching a sermon for each of our values as a church. We have a value statement. There are things we say that we are passionate about, we value for us as a church body. And I'm burdened because I do not want our values to be simply something that's just put on a document, on a file drive, on our server, and we forget about it. I've mentioned before, I used to have several different jobs. One of the jobs was I was a manager of McDonald's. And I was a manager training individuals, and I've been there for probably a year before I realized I saw some document floating around an office that McDonald's has values. And it's not just that we value selling, you know, inexpensive food really fast. There's actually a value statement that these are things that are supposed to shape us as a store. And I was clueless. My burden is that we as a church are not clueless about what we say we're passionate about. And so throughout this year, we've looked at different values: prayerful dependence, faithful evangelism, authentic worship, God's glory being chief in our church, gospel-focused discipleship. Now, church, I want you to hear me say this. I have been so encouraged this year how we as a church have grown in some of these values. Like very tangible things that I've been praying about for some of them 9 years. And seeing them kind of slowly begin to gain steam within our church body. And I hope you're engaged enough to see some of these blessings. So that we talk about where we value faithful evangelism. And that should be, I mean, every one of us in our conversations throughout the week. But I've been encouraged just this year, and we've already done one with the fair. And several individuals within our church engaged with the sowing of gospel. Lord willing, we plan to start another ministry to our community beginning in September to those struggling with addictions and be able to share the hope of the gospel with them. And if you want more information about that, commercial time, if you want more information about that or you know somebody you can invite and encourage to be a part of that, there's some information cards on the Welcome Center. I mean, just think about prayerful dependence and how we as a church, we start the year with prayer, but then throughout every single Sunday, we come back to that journal that encourages us to pray, and we're praying for different individuals within our church body. And even this past week, we just had this kind of, I don't know, impromptu organic time of prayer at the church body some people engaged with. Gospel-focused discipleship. The upcoming book study, we had to pull the sign-up sheet because we had too many people signed up for it. Like the Pharaoh's house can only hold so many people, and they kind of said, we're capped out. Our adult Bible fellowships have grown this year. As I pastor, I step back and I just see some different things God's placed and working towards us, and I say, thank you, God, because if we say we value it, it should look like that in our church. There are things I pray that you see God's doing. So we've looked at 5 out of the 8 values for us as a church. And so now it brings us to our next value. An engaged body of believers. If you were to go on our website, you would see this statement. If you dug enough, you click on about us and values, you'd get to a page that would read this. We each have been called and gifted by the Spirit to be an essential part of the church's purpose of making and maturing disciples. Therefore, we desire each member of our church to be engaged in the church for the purpose of their discipleship and utilizing their giftedness to see the church accomplish its purpose. So our value, our firm belief, is that to be engaged within the church body is not just simply to come and sit here on a Sunday morning and nod your head, but to truly be a part of the working of the ministry of the gospel in each other's lives. Now, this may seem foreign to some of you because the concept that you've had of church for so long has just been you come and there's this big room and everyone sits in there and you stand and you sit or you just listen and everything happens up here. And in some way, you're just kind of a spectator to what you call church to be. And we say we at church, for us at first, we value our church body being engaged in our purpose of making and maturing disciples. Because we believe that every one of us have uniquely been equipped, been gifted by God, abilities to serve this body in unique ways. Now, in that statement, I highlighted giftedness, because that is where I want us to see in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Really, I just want to look at one verse. It's actually going to be verse number 7. Now, the passage begins in verse number 1 and just makes this statement. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Like, I don't want to leave you in the dark about spiritual gifts. Now, some of you, and I just think in your study of God's word, you haven't dug into this that much. And so I read a statement like Paul says, I don't want you to be uninformed about spiritual gifts. And you think, well, that's me. I'm uninformed. Like, I like the idea of gifts. That sounds really good. And then if you add in spiritual gifts, I'm not sure what it is. It's a little fuzzy, but I wouldn't mind knowing a little bit more about that because it sounds good. I went through several different long theological definitions for spiritual gifts this week that I think if I put them up on the screen, it would leave us just as much uninformed as before we had them. So I've kind of worked this definition out, and it still might be fuzzy for you. Spiritual gifts are God-gifted and Holy Spirit-energized abilities that are given to Christians to be used for service within the church to bring about ministry for God's glory. Now, focus in on abilities, because we all have abilities. Like this morning, you have a God-given ability to breathe. Amen. And so someone's like, well, I got abilities. You might have really, really special abilities. Like, you might be able to say the alphabet backwards. That's a neat ability. You might be able to spin a basketball on your finger really fast. You might make the world's best chocolate chip cookies. Okay. And I would say those are God-given abilities. And it's neat that you have them. But when we talk about spiritual gifts, they are more than just a God-given ability. They are Spirit-empowered to Christians in unique ways to serve the church. So if you can say the alphabet backwards, that's really neat, and God helped you do that. But I'm not sure we're going to incorporate that through Spirit-enabling to serve the body. Now, if you make the world's best chocolate chip cookies, you can submit them this week, and we can analyze them whether they are Spirit-empowered, and they might help the church out a lot, okay? Drop them off by the church office this week. But this is more than just, I have this ability and that ability. It's God has uniquely gifted me as a Christian, as a brother and sister in Christ, the opportunities through my abilities, my time, my resources, to be a blessing, to minister for God's glory. Now, if you come back to verse number 12, chapter number 12, there are, in Scripture, we see some examples. They even kind of fill it in for us. Romans 12 mentions things like teaching or leading or serving, contributing to the needs of others, acts of mercy. 1 Corinthians 12, our passage this morning, if you kept on going past verse number 7, they would list things like working miracles, gifts of healing, helping people, administrating, teaching. Now, a couple things. There's a few other passages we could look at too. One, I don't think when we see gifts listed in Scripture, it's an exhaustive list that we got to like, okay, well, I don't do that, and I'm not good at that. Stink. I think these are examples of way people serve. And two, I firmly believe that in Scripture, there are gifts that are mentioned that are not being given today for the church. So our 1 Corinthians 12 passage is going to mention speaking in tongues. It's a gift of languages. And if you were to read and you go back to Acts chapter number 2, you would see the apostles in the upper room. Jesus has ascended and they're just spending time praying. And then the Holy Spirit's poured out and it fulfills a specific prophecy that happened in the Old Testament. And then they go out and Peter begins to preach the gospel, and the phrase is, they began to speak in tongues. And that word and what happens is they're speaking in languages they don't know, and the people around them are understanding what is being said and they're hearing the gospel in their own tongue. The gospel just spreads. I mean, at that time, Jerusalem was packed with people from all over the world. And so at unique times, God would give, the Holy Spirit would empower the ability to speak in languages they didn't know. When I took high school Spanish class, I wanted this gift, okay, because I was not doing good in Spanish class. But I contend that we don't need that gift given today because I have something that they didn't have. I can open my Bible up every single day and hear right from God. I don't need new revelation from God. I have everything I need. I mean, we'll see other gifts that I would say also, God has given and unique times throughout history to validate the gospel message. And you see it happen. I mentioned Acts 2 and Acts 3, another gift is given. Peter's walking into the temple with another one of the apostles and he sees a guy who's lame, he has not walked. And Peter says, look, I don't have money to give you. I know that's why you're laying here, but I can do something else for you. And through the Holy Spirit, he then declares to this guy, get up and walk. And the guy walks. And we see that throughout the book of Acts. We see people who are lame and now they're walking, people who are blind and now they're given sight. Now, do I think that God heals? We can nod our head. Please, nod your head. Yes. My God who formed me and knit me and knows everything about me heals. But I think the sad reality is when we see individuals in this world, in our culture, who claim this gift of healing over and over again, it is shown nothing to be real. It is preying upon people's weaknesses. And then when it doesn't work, the person doesn't take responsibility that they're not able to do it. They place the blame on that person there. But church body, we have gifts. We have been given. Whether that's the ability to teach, instruct, encourage, pour out compassion, meet needs, we have been given abilities in order to serve within the church to bring about God's glory. So Paul is saying, I don't want you to be uninformed about spiritual gifts. And he actually tells him, if you look down at verse number 2, why? Because he says, when you were pagan, when you believed in all these sorts of gods, then you were kind of led astray to idols. You were duped once. I don't want you to be fooled twice. And so I want to share with you, just because someone claims to speak for God doesn't mean that they actually speak for God. And so verse number 3 gives them this kind of test of whether to believe those who are claiming to speak for God or not. And if you look into verse number 4, 5, and 6, there's just this, it's the same statement over and over again, just kind of more robust. Now there are a variety of gifts, but there's one Spirit. And there are a variety of ways to serve, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So you see, we have three words that kind of all mean the same thing: gifts, service, and activities. And then you have every member of the Trinity mentioned, that they're all in play here as they are giving and empowering, equipping us to serve in so many different ways within the church body. And then we get to one verse. And this is the verse why I picked this passage this morning. It's the verse that pushes us to see an engaged body of believers and why it's so important. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each one of us is given, unique phrase here, manifestation of the Spirit. Why? For the common good. No real outline, just one verse. I'm going to break it into three phrases and just kind of take each one of those phrases and kind of just pick it up and let's think about this. And then we can kind of put it all back together. And when we put it all back together, we can see, Christian, you have uniquely been gifted to reveal the Spirit for the good of this body. So we have a phrase, manifestation of the Spirit. I don't think we use manifestation that often. It's actually becoming a little more trendy right now. We can manifest things in our life. To manifestation, to manifest something is to make it clear, make it known, to reveal it. And so what he's saying here is you have been given the ability to manifestate, to probably the wrong form there, to make clear, to put on display the Holy Spirit for others. So earlier this summer, my family went on vacation, and because I'm just a fun dad, I booked a lot of museums for us to go to, because you just know kids love museums, right? We did a lot of seeing things, and one of my sons was like, Dad, we've seen a lot. We need to go do some things now. But out of all the museums we went to, many of us enjoyed most the Museum of National Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. And we got in there. I had tickets. We got in first thing in the morning. And one of the first rooms we walked into had this massive, 40 feet? Let's make it big. Massive globe of the entire Earth. And you're sitting there and you're staring at this like, this thing is incredible. And then I think it was the next room or the room after that, we walk in and it's just all about the solar system. And so you see a little planet here, and then over there you see another planet, and over there you see another planet. And they're showing through touch screens all the different aspects of each one of the planets. You're getting this like size, comprehension of the solar system, and you're just becoming, this is massive. Okay. Those, shocker here, those are not the real thing, right? They are simply displays to help us understand and get a picture of the real thing. Okay, Christian, you have been given the unique ability to be a manifestation of the Spirit. But let's put it in a word we're going to do better with this morning. You have been given the unique ability through the gifting of the Holy Spirit to put on display for others to see the Holy Spirit. Now that sounds rather special. That God would equip me with abilities for maybe loving others, for serving others, for ministering to others. And when you and I use those abilities, that they could then see the power of the Holy Spirit through my life and get a small little glimpse and a better understanding of who their God is. When we think of ministry, a lot of times we think of them as burdens. We think of it as an inconvenience to our busy life. We can think of ministry a lot of times as tasks, something that we have to get around to, but honestly, we're kind of tired already. And it can be very easy at those moments to think of serving God as just, I know I got to do it. They're going to guilt me into doing it again, so let's get going. But what if we phrase it the way verse 7 phrased it? Church, we have opportunities this week, and we're looking for volunteers to use how the Holy Spirit's uniquely gifted you to put on display the power, compassion, and mercy of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's a privilege now. Thank you for that opportunity. Now, there are times where There are times where I think you can look at Scripture and it's obvious that we're putting on display the power of the Holy Spirit. So I've referenced Acts 2 already. Sorry, Acts 3, where Peter heals that guy sitting outside of the temple. So go back to that situation. Peter heals this guy. He basically tells this lame guy, get up and walk. Okay. Now, if we are there and that happens, we're sitting back and we're just, this is amazing. I know that guy. Like, he couldn't walk last week when I ran into him. And now he is walking. I'll just take a time out. This is not just a one-time little day kind of a thing where he can walk and the next day you're going to see him back there laying down again. You run into him in the marketplace and guess what? Next month, he's walking. He was healed. So he runs off and then you get Peter and you're like, okay, Peter, we got to talk. What just happened there? How'd you do that? Okay, I'll tell you what Peter's not going to say. Peter's not going to like, well, I mean, just to be honest with you, I knew Jesus was leaving, so I've been studying medical practices a lot recently, and I got this force thing that I can kind of just like will things with my mind and like poof, and I can kind of straighten bones out. And you work on it. Work on it. I'll give you some books. Can Peter take any credit at all in that moment for healing that person? No. Not in the least. The only thing Peter can say is, well, Jesus said he's going to give us the Holy Spirit, and look what the Spirit did. What did he just do? He put on display the power of the Spirit. It was a manifestation of the Spirit in his life that showed it to other people around him. Now, pause, because I'm anticipating some of the objections. Well, Pastor, that sounds really good for Peter, but... You already said earlier, I don't have the gift of healing, so what do I get to do? Church, today you have an opportunity to show care and comfort to somebody else. Go back to John 14 and 16 in your heads. Jesus is leaving and he says, I'm going to send a comforter. Who's the comforter? The Holy Spirit. So when I, through the working of the Spirit in my life to produce love, Galatians 5, pour that love into somebody else's life, not because I'm the super loving guy, but because the Spirit has been doing a work in my life, I am now putting on display the nature of my God for others to see. And I will contend I'm putting it on just as much as Peter did outside of a temple in Acts 3. Now, I think some of us would say, I'd rather take the healing thing. That sounds a little more special. Don't discredit the opportunity that we have to put on display our God. You have the opportunity today to minister the word to somebody else. And you say, well, I'm not scheduled to teach. Don't scare me like that. In conversation today, as you talk to other people and you speak God's word into their life and you use God's word to encourage somebody else that you might be sitting next to, what are you doing in that moment? You are speaking God's word. What is God's word? It is the breathed out by the Holy Spirit word of God. You are putting on display the truth of the Spirit. We have the opportunity to display God within this church body. What an amazing gift. I don't even need to know how you've been gifted. To say that we get to display God is an amazing privilege. Now, we need to be honest. More often than not, we are really imperfect displays. What we display is our own selfishness, our own pride, our own agenda. We hoard the work of God in our life. instead of choosing to display it for others to see. So these gifts reveal the Spirit. They reveal the Spirit to others around us. And I think it would be easy for us to look at maybe like a guy like Peter and say, well, yeah, of course he got to do that. That was special. And maybe even today you look at people and you're like, well, yeah, I mean, they played the piano and that's really special and Pastor gets to speak and I'm not musical and the idea of public speaking just makes me curl up in a ball, so that's not me either. So I'm glad some people get to do that, but that's not me. Which leads me to our next phrase. To each is given. So we have this display of the Spirit, but then it says, wait a minute here now, every one of us has been given a spiritual gift. I don't want you to overthink this. I don't want you to sit there and think through this long checklist, well, I don't have that, and I don't have that, and I really don't want to have that. So, not sure I've been gifted. There's no account in the New Testament where, like, someone is just coming to Paul or one of the apostles and they're sweating out saying, I don't know how to serve. What you see in the New Testament over and over again is just individuals meeting needs of other individuals. What you see in the New Testament is older women investing into younger women. What you see in the New Testament is just Paul saying, Timothy, you're with me now and I'm going to serve with you. You see individuals weeping with those who weep and rejoicing with those who rejoice. You see people just doing life together, where they take their knowledge, their abilities, and their time and their resources and say, how can I now pour this into somebody else to be a blessing to them? So when I say each one of us has been given gifts, because that's what the passage says, to each has been given the manifestation of the Spirit, I don't want you to sit back and try to do like this mental checklist. Simply with confidence, know that you have uniquely been gifted by God at this point in your life, Christian, to display the Holy Spirit to others. And so, maybe give yourself to prayer. God, how can I do this? Where can I do this? In what way can I be a part of this? And then serve. For some of you, that might be in a really official sense. You're going to display God's glory as you join a music team. Okay, some people just got scared. I have more examples than just that, okay? Some of it might be in a really official sense where you're going to display the truth of the Holy Spirit and God's word as you teach some of our younger kids. You just made him known to people. Some of it might be really organic, where like your name is not anywhere on the volunteer sheet, but you simply hear about need and you go meet the need. You become burdened for someone else within our congregation. You say, I'm burdened for what they're going through right now, and I want to be a friend to them and encourage them. I'm going to be a part of their life. And they don't even know what's happened. They don't even know you adopted them, but you start showing up in their life more and more. For some of you, it's just simply saying, look, I've had to walk through this, and I'm praying for so-and-so, and they're walking through this, and I just want to pour out to God to work in their life. It is each one of us considering who we are, the time, resources, abilities that God has given to us, and then how we can use those to be a part of making and maturing disciples for God's glory. Last phrase. We get to display the Spirit. Each one of us have been given. We've been gifted. And then it comes to the very phrase that made me stop when I was reading this passage. For the common good. When we think about giving gifts, when we think about getting gifts, we generally think of something that someone else has given to us that is meant for us. It's for me. I mean, that's how we label gifts, like from so-and-so to you. And that to you means that it's for you. And we've had to drill this in with our kids when they're especially younger. Christmas, like, we all got gifts. Everyone gets gifts. And then birthday rolls around and our little two-year-old is like, wait a minute here. I see five gifts for my brother, but where are my gifts? And like, no, sorry, these are all for them. Last month was my birthday and my family gave me gifts for me to enjoy. They gave me some books. I finished one last night. I'm going to start a book on Thomas Jefferson this afternoon. That was for me. When I opened up that book, there was nobody else around our table that said, man, I'm glad you got that, Dad, so I can read that one too. They thought about me and gave me a gift that I would like. Now, sometimes that gets a little bit confused. Last week, I was cooking in the kitchen with some people here at the church, and someone brought me a bag of peanut M&Ms. They were for me. And then they get in the car, and a bunch of kids are thinking, like, wait a minute, those look really good. Can I have some? I said, I think you missed something. That was a gift for me to enjoy. I was opening up cards at my birthday, and my youngest gave me a birthday card. He made it. It was sweet. Happy birthday on the front. I opened it up, and he had colored some things. I think he usually likes to put Michigan stuff on my cards because he knows I love Michigan. So he made me, Michigan M was there, and I opened the card up, and it said, happy birthday, Dad. Love you because you're going to take me to Pizza Ranch soon. He's got that whole passive-aggressive thing down. Just great. Now, we laugh, and I bust up laughing because I'm like, you don't understand the whole gift-giving thing. But in actuality, his idea of gift-giving is closer to what we see in verse number 7. That I have been given a gift not for me, but for your good. For the common good. That God takes Luke and says, I'm going to fashion you in a certain way, not to build you up, but so that you can be a blessing for the common good of the body. Now, as one of the pastors, I think some of you might say, well, yeah, of course, you get to talk to all of us every Sunday. And some of them are good, okay? And so that's the common good. This verse is not limited to pastors. This verse is not limited to people who are on the platform on Sundays reading scripture. This is not limited to Sunday school teachers. This is to each who has been given a way to display the Holy Spirit. Why? For the common good. You have been gifted. If you are part of First Baptist Church, you have been gifted the ability to bring about good within First Baptist Church. To strengthen the body. To bring about the making and the maturing of disciples of Jesus Christ. To encourage those who are weak. To correct those who are astray. To build up those who are struggling. To meet needs. To petition and intercede in prayer for individuals. You have been gifted for our good. This leads me to ask then, and this is what's haunted me as I've read this verse. What good is First Baptist missing out on because gifts are going unused? Do you see my logic to get to that question? If we have been gifted with God's wisdom to put a church body together with unique abilities to say, here, I'm putting this puzzle piece in to help this puzzle fit together for their good. And then that piece of the puzzle says, I don't really care. Then we just lost out on good. See, this is why when we get to what we value an engaged body of believers. Because we believe that every believer within this body has uniquely been gifted in a way that they can bring about the good for First Baptist Church. Now, that's different than some churches are going to structure. It'd be easier for us to structure a church body where we simply say, we'll do everything. You come, you give some money in the offering, you amen at the right time, and then you get to leave, and all the needs are already met. We say, we don't see that in Scripture. What we see in Scripture is the work of the Holy Spirit to equip this body to serve in special ways so that God is glorified and we have good. I firmly believe that every church I've ever been a part of and every church that you have ever been a part of has only ever experienced a fraction of the good that God has designed for them to receive and to experience. Because only a fraction of the abilities that God has given that church ever get used. I'm not naive to think that we'll ever reach 100% of the good that God has planned for us. But I am hungry to experience more and more of it. What do we value, church? I think it's easy for us on a Sunday to nod our head and say, we value prayer. Pastor, I'm glad we pray on Sundays. And we value God being glorified. Amen. And we definitely value discipleship. Yep, need it. I mean, I don't think I'd read any one of those, the values that we have, and any of us would say, I don't know about that one. They're pretty basic. What do we really value? Not what we put up on our website. What do we really value? Because when it comes to engaged body of believers, there are times where our actions say that we really value our comfort. We value just what we know. We value our privacy. I pray we value a body of believers that's engaged through how they've uniquely been gifted by God to serve, meet needs, be a blessing, speak God's word, encourage, so that First Baptist Church can experience the good that God has equipped us to experience. What do you value today? And Father God, we pray and we thank you for your word. We thank you how your word challenges us, but also encourages us. And so we pray now as a church body, we take your word and reflect upon it. And we pray through the Holy Spirit, we apply it the way it should be. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.